Northern white spruce. A scraggled old white spruce. The only one around anyone could recall. A rare tree for coastal Rhode Island, after all. One more at home in mountainy Maine or Quebec. It was twisted into its own story. Its topmost loft lost to a lightning storm long before any of us were born. Ospreys perch there now in early September, just before their annual migration south to Venezuela. They had probably nested and raised chicks in the tree at one time. We could only imagine how it had come to stand there at all, the complicated Victorian castle beside and to the front of our place had been built in 1880 by a local entrepreneur. The white spruce had been full grown even then. What was later to become our house had at that time been the cow barn. All around had been pasture from then until the 1960s, when mid-price capes and ranches sprung up all around. But the white spruce still stood guard at the edge of the property, craggy survivor. No doubt the cone carrying its seed swept there by a forgotten spring wind on its journey from somewhere to some other where, or caught in the crop of a crow and shat out some lost November before all these wars and computers. And of course there had been the hurricanes, too many, mysterious and famous in lowland Rhode Island before technology was able to predict their coming. The one in 1938, which was also before they were given human names, had drowned or crushed an estimated 700 people in New England. It's thought that as many as 400 of them were in Rhode Island alone. The white spruce had stood solitary vigil in the cow pasture, proud in the gale. We had moved down to Rhode Island from New Hampshire, where we'd been married some years before in a piney field in the mountains, and the sight of the twisty spruce, so out of place among these maples and tidy capes, everything squared off and freshly pruned, would always wake something inside, and I would flash on how it had felt to live among mountains, how it was still more wild there, and how we would always feel like visitors in the extremes of each season. Spring is more seriously spring north of Lake Winnipesaukee, the snowmelt making white water of burbling brooks, the sun's new heat unfurling deep forest fiddleheads almost quickly enough to be seen, though not quite, of course. There's an abruptness to spring's arrival in the North Country, winter's grip hanging in the patches of old snow. In sunny coastal Rhode Island, and most of Rhode Island is coastal in some form, the season unfolds gracefully. Each morning brings three new flowers, is a single degree warmer, smells just slightly saltier, a promise of summer beach on its breath. Summer is what Rhode Island is for. It passes by more quickly as we age, but that's true of all things. It does linger here longer than it has a right to, though, with a wide middle age that stretches easily into the autumn. The ocean stays warm. People swim into October most years. The lack of altitude exposes it to more sunlight, or at least it feels that way. Rhode Island is flat country, flush with the ocean, a sunny place, whenever it isn't raining. The white spruce always looks slightly embarrassed in the sunshine, doesn't know what to do with its brooding mountain self when all around it is happy and smiling. It seems to know it never belonged here, even though it's older and has been here longer than anything around it. As in much of the reforested Northeast, Rhode Island has enjoyed a resurgence of wild animals once nearly extinct. Some think of them as a nuisance, and ruined gardens bear them out. But bald eagles and ospreys, beavers and bears, turkeys, coyotes and deer are now to varying degrees part of our lives. We have no choice but to learn to have them among us, as they have learned to live their lives here too, eating our rotten garbage as well as our new peas and cherry tomatoes, and occasionally our cats. As a boy, the sight of one Canada goose on the shore of a pond would be amazing, something to tell your friends. Now, as we all know, their fecundity is what's amazing, and the green reminders of their presence often get tracked in the house. The legendary V of geese making a velvet ribbon heading south has always been a symbol of approaching autumn, But of course climate change ended all that. I assume there had to have been a single goose who first had the notion to stay here rather than make the yearly migration south. Dumpsters overflow. Lawns can be found without much snow. Why leave? The white spruce enjoys winter more than it lets on. It looks as if it sags at the wet snow, but then it sags naturally anyway as part of its pose. Climate change notwithstanding, Rhode Island winters are disappointing. The single-inch snowstorms become slush, which in turn becomes black ice, perfect for skidding when the overnight temps dip down. The white spruce is genetically more attuned to mountain powder, dusty snow that falls light, constantly, peacefully down on the forest. The damp snow that falls on Rhode Island is met mostly with disgust at the prospect of bad shoveling and worse driving. The white spruce can't live forever. The tree guy who inspected our property pronounced it very old, but solid, and near as he could tell, unlikely to topple in the windstorms of recent winters. Still, when the high wind late at night creaks through the eaves of our old place, I lie in my warm bed and think about the white spruce outside the window, still there, pointing up at something, through every imaginable everything, for longer than any of us have been alive.